Good morning, everyone. How are you? I'm Paul Montoya. I'm part of the teaching team here at Whitewater. I appreciate what Caleb had to ask this morning, because that was a discussion we actually had this Wednesday. We get together every Wednesday to kind of go over sermon planning and teaching. And that was a question we asked ourselves: are we really having impact? Is this narrative that we're doing of the Bible here, pointing toward Jesus, really having some impact on our lives? And it was really good to hear the responses, because the responses that I think we heard this morning were the responses we were hoping to hear, that this is changing lives. I mean, that's really what it's about, that we're moving two steps closer, as we say here at Whitewater. It is a privilege to be able to talk to you today. I really thank you for the opportunity. It is Father's Day. Any fathers here? Adam kind of asked. Raise your hand if you're a father. Yeah, a lot. Old fathers, young fathers. A lot of different stories, too. For Father's Day, a lot of people, it's not a real great time, because either you've had difficult relationships with your father, maybe you didn't even know your father. That's kind of the times we're living in. So like a lot of holidays, sometimes it's great for a lot of people, and it's really tough for a lot of people, too. I'll tell you a little bit about personal experience before we get into our Bible narrative today. I've got a picture of my father. Actually, these are a couple of my favorite people. That's my wife, Lynn, on the left. See, Lynn, you made that picture. You remember that with my dad many years ago? Yeah, we might just leave the lights down today. I think everybody can see me. You can at least hear me. You don't have to see me. My dad's on the right. He passed away probably 12 years ago now, I believe. This was quite a while back. And my dad was a really neat dad. I learned to work with my hands for my dad. My dad worked construction early on, and then he went into electronics and worked for Sandia Laboratories for 32 years in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I learned electronics from him. I learned a lot from my mom. My appreciation for music came from my mom. But my dad was very instrumental in my life. One of the big things I think he taught me more than anything else was patience. He was a very patient man. He was a quiet man, but a very loving man. And he taught me to be patient. And even though I still have my struggles, like all of us do, he taught me the value of what patience was about. In my early 20s, I actually became a dad. And next picture is a picture of my son, Kyle. As you can tell, he's very creative with his photoshopping. he's a DJ. And kind of the backstory, I also have a daughter who's actually a couple years older than he is. I was married to my first wife. I was divorced in my 20s. And we had both my daughter, Alana, and my son, Kyle. And when my daughter was about 5 or 6 years old, my first wife and I ended up splitting up. It was a very difficult time. And unfortunately, the kids were part of that battle, and there was a real struggle, and there was a lot of really nasty stuff that went on. And through the whole court process and everything else, I did have visitation and, you know, the whole bit at every weekend, and then maybe some extended periods. But it was always a battle of words and a battle of presentation, things that were said to the kids. And it was always, when we had the kids over for a weekend, it was always a struggle because they didn't want to participate. They were very negative, so forth. It got to the point when my daughter was 11 and my son Kyle was 9, I said, well, you know, if you don't want to come visit anymore, just let me know. And they decided not to. And at that point, from when my son was 9 until his 20s, I didn't see my kids. And it was probably one of the most difficult things in my life at the time. And so not only did I not get to see them, I didn't get to be an influence in their lives, and it was really just as if I wasn't around at all when they were going through high school and even early college for them. I'll tell you the rest of that story here in a little bit. But today we're going to be looking at a king of Israel that had a difficult time with his dad. Last week, Matt talked a little bit, talked about King David. And if you remember in that narrative, King David had a number of children, they're guessing, because he had a number of wives. And one of the kids that ended up inheriting the throne was one of his son named Solomon. And we've all heard of King Solomon. We always, when we think of King Solomon, we always think about the two mothers that brought a baby to him that they both claimed it was their baby, and he said, "We'll cut the baby in half, and you can each have half." And the real mother said, "No, no, let her have it." We all remember that story. It was the wisdom of Solomon that actually pointed to who the real mother was in the story. Well, today we're going to have a conversation that many of us wish we would have maybe had in our life, and it's a conversation between King David and his son Solomon when King David was on his deathbed, when he was dying. And we're going to go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 2 and start with verse 1. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave charge to Solomon, his son. So it's he and Solomon are at the deathbed. He said to Solomon, "I'm going to go the way of all the earth." Not a great way to say you're going to die. Of course, this was David. He wrote the Psalms, so he knew how to write. He said, "So be strong and act like a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel." And there was more that he actually said that we won't go into about dealing with some enemies of King David and how he was going to leave it to Solomon to actually decide what to do. But this King David knew he was dying. He knew that the kingship would pass on to Solomon, his son. It's a wonderful conversation when you really think about it, between a father and a son, between a king and a prince, between David and Solomon. These are important words that Solomon had to carry with him for the rest of his life, that his father was speaking to him at the time. David says to Solomon, "So be strong and act like a man." He's not only telling Solomon how to be a king, but that he actually had to grow up now and be a man. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like I have. I'm always amazed at the father-son combinations of where a son carries on a legacy of his father. This first slide I have here is one of Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr., Major League Baseball, father and son combination. And, of course, a little closer to home, we have, for the Rockies, we have Eric Young and Eric Young Jr. It was kind of funny because I did a little research into this, and there's over 100 father and son combinations just in Major League Baseball that have occurred over history. Really, really strange. And then something that hits close to home for me, because I'm a Broncos fan, and unfortunately the only picture I could find was one of Peyton Manning in a blue uniform instead of an orange uniform, but this is Archie Manning, famous quarterback, actually had two sons that became National Football League quarterbacks, Eli and Peyton Manning. Pretty amazing. It's not only the world of sports, though. We also have picture in acting of John Voight and his daughter Angelina Jolie. I think she inherited the looks, though, don't you think? And then another acting family that actually, he had two sons that became actors, Martin Sheen, Emilio Estevez, and Charlie Sheen. Maybe not quite as effective gene transfer with all of them, but interesting nevertheless. And even in the world of leadership, just in recent history, we've seen a family that actually produced two people that became president of the United States, the greatest leader in the world, in George H. Bush and George W. Bush. I mean, that doesn't just seem to happen. I don't think it's a product of just genetics. It's not a product of environment. It can be a product of fathers speaking something special into their children's, into their sons' lives. In our discussion today, I'd like to talk a little bit about what it means to become a man, to be a man. And I know that that seems to exclude about half of this audience, but what I have to say about becoming and being a man applies to everybody. It really does. But there are some issues that I'd like to talk about that really deal with being a man, if we could. David said, "So be strong and act like a man." Be strong and act like a man. As a prince, you got to remember that Solomon had everything he wanted. He was a prince. He could have whatever he liked, any food he liked, travel. He probably had the best horses that you could in the kingdom, and so forth. But the one thing he didn't have was the responsibility of being king. He had all the pleasures of a kingdom without any responsibility. Now, on David's deathbed, was his time to be king, to be a man. In this moment in history, it was a passing between one king to another king. And it was a time to no longer be a boy, to be a man. We're living in a time right now that I kind of call delayed adulthood. We right now live in a generation of boys a lot of times and not men. I think many men have longed for a period in time that dad would say, "Hey, it is time to be a man. It's time to grow up." We have 25 and 30-year-old adolescents. We have 45 and even 50-year-old boys in men's bodies. David was saying it's time. And he reminds Solomon of what it means to be a man. He says, "Observe what the Lord your God requires, walk in obedience to him, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses." David said that to be a man, we have to take responsibility for being a man. We have to take responsibility for all we do, for what shapes us as a man and what decisions we make in our life. As a king, when Solomon became a king, he'd have a ton of advisors around him, all telling him what to do. But David said to Solomon, to his son, "Observe what the Lord requires of you. You'll have everything at your disposal, but you must take responsibility for the man you will become." A lot of times we hear that I'm the way I am because of something someone did to me. Or you hear my dad wasn't there and that's the reason I am the way I am. The problem with this is that there's a lot of truth to these statements. A lot of young men, a lot of boys are growing up without the influence of a father that tells them that it's time to be a man, to go through that rite of passage to become a man. But as part of our adolescence into adulthood, a lot of that is taking responsibility for what we need to. Saying, no matter what happened in my past, I've got to take responsibility for my life forward. And that I choose to be the person that I choose to be or not be. We live in a world right now where there's a lot of distractions around us, so sometimes the focus on what we need to be and what we need to become and what God has planned for us doesn't come easily. Solomon was to become a king with tremendous wealth. He could have his pick of thousands of horses, thousands of women, as we actually see later if we look deeper into the rest of the story. Yet David knew he had to take responsibility for David was telling Solomon that he had to take responsibility for the life, for what he needed to pay attention to as he became a king. Because what he did would influence not only his life as king, but really everyone in the kingdom when you really got down to it. He said to walk in obedience to him. That was the guideline for becoming a man. When we talk about walking with God and following the path that he has for us, sometimes it feels confining. But when David was telling his son, was that you never walk alone. You always have God to help you make decisions in life. The path you choose always affects other people. Decisions we make as adults affect other people, whether that be friends, family, sometimes in leadership roles. In Solomon's situation, the future of Israel would depend on decisions that he made as king and as a man. Walk in obedience and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations. This is kind of language that we don't like to hear. We don't like to be told what to do, especially as Westerners, as Americans. A lot of people say that's why I don't like religion, because it's really all about rules and commands and laws and things like that, so I don't want to be religious. But when you think about it, it's really important to really analyze what you're really saying, because part of moving out of adolescence into adulthood is living within the law. It's part of moving from being a boy into a man. But more importantly, it's learning how to say no to ourselves. If you think about it, that's why kids need parents, why they need guardians, because adults are the ones who normally say no. That's really the big difference between a parent and an adult, and a lot of times it's not easy because we like to be friends with our kids rather than being the ones that are molding and shaping them and setting boundaries and parameters. When you're kids, you don't like that. Since Solomon could really have whatever he wanted, if he wanted one more horse, he could. If he wanted one more wife, he could. Nothing was ever denied to him as a king. David is telling Solomon that his life could be destructive if he lived with a life without boundaries. He's saying that he needed to pay attention to God's law because they were there for his health, for a healthy environment, and because of that affected the whole kingdom. If you don't know how to say no to yourself, you're also saying no to the best life that God has planned for you when you really get down to it. And as a good litmus test, when you really think about it, the best way to tell if we've grown up to be an adult is to ask ourselves, have we learned to say no to ourselves? Part of becoming a man, part of becoming an adult, is being able to learn to say no to ourselves, establishing boundaries to make a better life for ourselves. Now, David was an incredible man, quite a father to live up to. He was an incredible king. He'll probably be remembered as one of the best kings and most amazing kings of Israel. When you think about it, he wrote the songs. He was a giant killer. Remember, he killed Goliath. He wasn't afraid of being immortalized naked. He was a man that women desired and men really envied when you really think about it. He was a great man, but he was a great man that also listened to God. David said to his son, Solomon, you are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do. Solomon, you are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do. And these words are kind of important because this is chapter 2 of 1 Kings. And when he said, Solomon, you are a man of wisdom, you know what to do, this was a whole chapter before, you remember, Solomon asked, when asked by God in a dream, what would you like? You can have anything in the world and I'll grant it to you. And Solomon said, hey, I want wisdom. I want the wisdom to lead the people of Israel. I don't think this was just coincidence. I don't think this just popped into Solomon's head. He remembers that conversation he had with his dad on the deathbed and said, this is what my father spoke into my life. I'm to be a wise man in Israel, so God help me become that man. I think we all tend to wish for things that our fathers see in us. King David saw wisdom in Solomon. Our fathers hopefully see things in us. My father saw things in me, and I think wished that upon me. We're really designed by our nature in life to look toward our fathers and hopefully have them say to us, it's now time to be a man. It's now time to be a woman. And actually, when you really think about it, all you need is there right now. And we just need to learn to access it. Really, whether or not our earthly fathers ever really even said this to us, we need to ask God for it because we long for it in our lives when you really get down to it. A lot of us really end up spending our whole lives waiting for someone to say, it's time. Be strong, be a man, be a woman, be an adult. But what's inside of all of us is enough if we call on God. The situation I was telling you a little earlier about my son Kyle, it just happened to be a situation that he got into some serious legal problems when he was in his early 20s. And I remember getting a call from his mom saying, hey, Kyle's in trouble. It's probably the first time I'd spoken to her in many years, too. And he ended up going through a lot of stuff, including basically a year of incarceration for some things he did. But it was also a time of reflection in his life as he passed from adolescence, hopefully to adulthood. I think he's still on that track, hopefully so. But it was really a time for reconciliation with both he and his sister at that time, and it was a crisis like that. But it'd been something that I had prayed for many, many years, in that there would be a reconciliation that way. And right now I have a wonderful relationship with my son, Kyle. And it's really thanks to, I think, God's hand. And I didn't know what time. I mean, it could have been a case where I wasn't going to see him the rest of his life. But I think God had a time and a place for things to happen and that reconciliation to occur. And we actually got to spend some time, Lynn and I, and he and his girlfriend got to spend some time last night together. And it's really quite a blessing. God really can't change our past. He can fix things in the future, though. He can create a different future if we just ask it of him. And we don't know what that's going to be. A lot of times I think we wish upon what we want God to do, and that may not be the plan, it may not be the time, and so forth. But God can change the future, and it's important that we let him in to do that. We may not have that earthly father to speak into our lives, but we do have our heavenly father that can speak into our lives. And the one thing I'd like to leave with you today is that there was a lot of strife and grief in Solomon's reign as king, and we'll hear more about that. His end of his life was really very difficult. He became a very bitter, bitter man. But there was a lot of really incredible things that happened in his life. And I think a lot of that was the influence of what was spoken into his life through his father, David. And then in turn, what then God continued to speak into his life. And what I pray is that as we all decide to be a man, to be an adult, that we listen for God to give us direction on what we need to do. Let's pray. Dear Father, I really thank you for the opportunity to really speak today and also absorb what you have to say into our lives. I know there's a lot of difficult situations out there, relationships between people, between fathers and sons, between fathers and daughters, between mothers and daughters, mothers and sons, between spouses, between ex-spouses. I just really ask you that we come before you just begging you for reconciliations within our hearts. We may not ever see that physical reconciliation. Only you know what's going to happen there. But we really ask you for a peace and an open heart to really follow what you have planned for us, whatever that might be, Lord. Help us be the mature adults that you want us to be, and open to your guidance and your wisdom in leading us in what we do, Lord. We thank you and we ask special blessing upon all the fathers here today and future fathers, that they may heed your word, Lord, in your name. Amen.